Good afternoon. Y'all doing all right? Y'all still love Jesus? That's good. Can y'all hear me okay? All right. I can't hear if I'm loud or not. There it goes. Well, I'm really thankful to be here also. I talked to my wife today. She stayed up late. It was Saturday night over there. And she said, tell all y'all hello, and hopefully y'all are taking good care of me, she said. I told her, no worry, mate. Is that all right? Did I say that right? Well, we've been having a good time. I have. Hope y'all have too. And hopefully it'll continue tonight in Jesus' name. Would y'all mind standing up one more time? It's probably all right for everybody to keep getting exercise up and down, up and down. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you so much for letting us congregate again and give you the glory and the honor, Jesus. Thank you so much, Father God, for the victory and the power that was given to us on the cross. Thank you so much for the resurrection, the power that took place that night, that morning, God, whenever Jesus walked out of that grave. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you that you allow us to destroy and to come against principalities and witchcraft and the devil and everything that's setting itself against this nation. And we curse it in the name of Jesus. And we ask God for His precious Holy Ghost. Pour it out on us, God. God, destroy the works of the devil in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you. Please be seated. I have a whole lot of things in my mind to talk about. We'll see how far we get. But first of all, I'd like for you to turn to 1 John chapter 3 in your Bibles, please. First John chapter 3. It's very important to me to make sure that y'all's Bible says the same thing mine does. I keep telling y'all that, and I'll tell y'all that the whole time I'm here. As long as you'll listen, I'll tell you that. Because there's lots of people preach stuff that you can't find in their Bible sometimes. I want to make sure what I read and what I say, my statements that are made to y'all, you can find it in your Bible. When I preach to Indians out in the field in Mexico or down in South America, I make sure that they understand what I'm telling them does not come from America, but it comes out of this book right here. That's very important. All right. What was the reason for Jesus coming here? Yes. Who said that? What verse is it? That's right. Verse 8. Look at verse 8 in 1 John chapter 3. The reason Jesus came is very simple. Very simple. It wasn't to get along with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It was to do the work of His Father. Verse 8 says, he that commits sin is from the devil. The devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, because of the powers of the devil. For that purpose, God sent Jesus here. There's a purpose behind what God's doing. It's not just to make you rich. It's not just to make you famous. Is to destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Go to John chapter 1, please. Verse 12. See, there's lots of times you have enemies. Whoever is responsible for trying to get bills passed like we were praying against a while ago, they're the enemy of God. Do you understand that? It doesn't matter what their name is. They are people that need Jesus. They are guided by the devil. Right? So we need to bind the devil and pray for those people's salvation. Jesus came here to destroy the works of the devil. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as receive Him, Jesus, to them gave He what? What did He give them? Alright, what did Jesus come here to do? He came here to destroy the devil. When we destroy the works of the devil, we allow God to work through us. Right? Right here in the 12th verse it says, as many as receive Him, I have received Jesus. Therefore I have received power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on His name. They're not born of flesh and blood, nor of the will of man. There was no man, nobody told me to go to Mexico. Nobody told me to preach the gospel. Jesus did. Nobody told me to pray and fast and believe God to see the dead raised. Jesus did. The things I do, men are not responsible for it. God is. Jesus is. So we have to lift up Jesus at everything we do. Lift up Jesus. Jesus is the one that destroys the works of the devil. Jesus is the one that gives us power to become the sons of God. Jesus is the one that gives us revelation that we're not here because of the will of man. It's not flesh and blood that brought us here. It's the Spirit of God that brought us here. Verse 14. The Word of God was made flesh. The Word of God was made flesh. Jesus is the Word of God. You understand? Are y'all hearing me? I know my voice is cracking a little bit, but y'all got to stay with me. Jesus is the Word of God. He was made flesh. God spoke the worlds into existence. The Word of God spoke this universe into existence. The Word of God is Jesus. And whoever receives Jesus receives the power of God Almighty. I've got Jesus. I've got the power of God. If you've got Jesus, you've got the power of God in you. Do you understand that? Way in the back there, in the yellow shirt, way back there over there. If you've got Jesus, you've got the power of God. Did you hear me? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, when the Word of God comes alive in us, some things begin to happen. You know what that is? Read the rest of that verse right there. What happened when the flesh, when the Word of God was made flesh and began to dwell among the people in that day? What began to happen? They began to behold something. His glory. The glory of God in humans is when we're transformed. If we need to be born again, we get transformed. If we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, we get transformed. If our body's tangled all up with some kind of disease, the glory of God transforms it. We can behold it with our very eyes. We can see it happening to somebody around us when Jesus is here. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of God. And listen, the glory of God is filled with something also. It's filled with grace and truth. You see, we had a problem in Mexico once. Have y'all ever heard of communism? I don't know what y'all stand on communism is, but it's a devil. Whatever your stand is wrong if it's pro-commie. Communism's from the devil. But guess what? So is capitalism. I believe in the kingdom of God, nothing else. And look, this communist leader, he was a very powerful man, had lots of money, had lots of following. He was a very crafty fella. He learned our schedules. He learned our church. He learned where our churches were. He began to hide out, and he would capture my brothers, my Indian pastors, and he would take them, and he would beat them, and he would whip the ladies, strip their clothes off of them, and mess with them, and he would fool with them all the time. Everywhere, he began to catch us everywhere we went. I started changing the schedule without telling anybody but the leaders. But he was smart. He put people all over the place. He was trying to catch us and keep us from arriving to preach the gospel. But when a man's mentality becomes such that he thinks he's greater than God, then God himself moves in and gets in the picture. There's no one bigger than God. No one. I can't tell you the dozens of times I had to go bail national pastors out of jail because this man was continually throwing us in jail. It got into dozens of times. I wouldn't say it was hundreds, but it was several dozen times that this guy, he was harassing the gospel. But I must tell you, when you begin to harass people that are filled with Jesus, you're not harassing the people anymore, but you're harassing God. And when you mess with a guy like me that believes that I don't own the power belongs to God, then you're in trouble. You're in trouble. So the day finally came when the communist leader had to knock on the door of the pastor he had been harassing so long. He came at night because he was so embarrassed, so afraid. But he walked in that little Indian man's house, my little pastor's house, made out of sticks and grass. And he walked in there and fell on his knees and said, "I need your help." How can that be? A great communist leader. Money, power, prestige, everything you want. Real simple. His wife had given birth to a baby. But something happened during the delivery. The uterus wall burst open inside and the placenta spilled into her organs. They rushed her to the doctor. But when you live out in the jungle, rushing to the doctor is still a 12-hour trip. The problem is, if there's any doctors in here, they'll verify this, that there's a certain amount of time, and it's very short. It's only a few hours, if my recollection is right, that you have to get that thing stopped, get it cleaned up, and or poison or gangrene starts setting in the organs in the human body. They didn't get her there in time. So gangrene set in. Inside the woman, this communist leader's wife. Now then, if I was to go according to what a lot of people's theology is, we would sit down on the floor and just have a laughing fit and say, "Thank God, this devil's taken care of." But if you go according to the Word of God, the Bible says you pray for your enemies. You do good to them that persecute you. If you do according to what the Bible says, it's an entirely different thing than what our flesh wants. Is that not true? So the pastor was afraid of him. He thought it was another trick, which it could have very well been, but it wasn't. And that man was begging him to go to his house. The very man that was carrying scars in his body from this man's hands was now following this guy that had beat him up to his house to pray for his wife. Even though you may be persecuted a little bit, if you can have patience and trust God, every situation will be turned around in your favor. All of them, 100%. If you can trust Jesus. He got there to find a woman that had, I forgot what it is in English, just a second, jungle rot had set up on the outside of her, all in her groin area, all in her lower parts, all over her body, outside, inside, was completely eat up with gangrene, and she was almost dead. The odor of rotten flesh would flip anybody's stomach. He turned and looked at that communist leader, and he said, "We're not going to pray." And the man said, "But why not? I was told that you people forgive people that do y'all wrong." He said, "You was told right, but the problem is, you must be born again. And if you don't get born again, we're not going to pray for your wife." He learned that from me. John chapter 3, please. And he said, "Whatever it takes to get my wife healed, I'm willing to do it." So he led him to the Lord Jesus. And there were some other of his leaders there, them communist fellows. They all got born again at one time. All of them. So then he laid down over there, prayed, the little pastor and his couple of elders that was with him, they laid hands on this lady in the name of Jesus. During the day, that day, he came and got me, told me the whole story. So I went out there in my four-wheel drive, walked over the mountain, it was a couple hour hike, got up in there, walked up in the house of this guy that had persecuted us so much, cost the ministry so much money, and he was now weeping and crying and so humbled, filled with God, that made me mad. I wanted to rebuke him some more. But there was no need to rebuke him. He was filled with Jesus. So we went in, prayed for the wife again, thanking God for the victory and the healing. And there's absolutely, if you know anything about what I'm telling you, there is no hope for that lady at all. When gangrene sets in inside the body and in this bloodstream the way that was, you're dead within a day or so. And it's a very painful, excruciating death. But we laid hands on that lady in the name of Jesus, fully well expecting God to do a miracle like we've seen so many times. Guess what he did? The fourth day after we prayed for that lady, they brought her to service. Listen to this. They brought her to service so she could be under the Word of God, because we told them that's what she needed. The fourth day after we prayed, she came to service. They brought her in on a stretcher. We laid hands on her again. The outside appearance of jungle rot was gone. She still had pain inside. We laid hands on her, and she walked home 2 hours. And there's something else. There's something else you need to know. Since then, she's had another baby. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's very important for you to see that when Jesus is with you, even though you may endure a little persecution, it doesn't matter what people do to you outside. It matters what God's doing to you inside. Do you understand? It makes a difference. that you can let the power of God flow on you. It makes a difference that you realize that Jesus came here to destroy the works of the devil. It makes a difference that you realize that Jesus in the flesh was the spoken word of God. It makes a difference that when you receive Jesus, you realize that you become a son of God filled with His power. And that you can watch His glory in the earth. It makes a difference. John chapter 3 and verse 30. I just would like to know what y'all's Bible said. If somebody wouldn't mind reading that for me. Yeah, thought it said it. Says the same thing mine does. Does anybody know who the greatest in the kingdom of God is? The greatest in the kingdom of God is the servant of all. We've got to learn how to become a servant to where God has told us to go and work. It's very likely you won't be called to the places I am because I've never seen you out there yet. I've been out there for 18 years. And I've never noticed that you're there. What we've got to do is allow Jesus to become very important in our lives. We've got to raise Jesus up and we've got to take us out of the way. Everything we do, everything we say, the way you get these miracles of God flowing is to let the Word of God become rich in you. You got to understand that Jesus came here to destroy the works of the devil, and that means everybody, and for every reason, has the right to walk in the glory of God. What we've done down through here, we've isolated a few people that have had the nerve to seek God. Like a person like me, I get isolated over here and I get looked up to, and there's no reason for that. Every one of us should be walking in the same thing. All of us, everybody in this room should be walking just like Jesus walked. It says right here in my Bible, He must increase, but I must decrease. Back up in the chapter to verse 14, there's another phrase I want to get in here this afternoon. Now, I haven't talked to y'all very much about witchcraft, but I'm going to tell you a story tonight that's it's going to take some believing I'm not lying to get through this one. I had the great honor to be the man that went and had the opportunity to pray at these people's house. They came, got me one morning very early. I got in my four-wheel drive. There was this young boy, about 11 or 12 years old, that had gone into a coma. And so they came, got me. They were not born again. They were not filled with the Holy Ghost. When I got to the house, it was filled with fetish. Do y'all know what fetish is, pastors? Do they know what fetish is? No? Yes? No? Fetish is a point of contact of faith used by witchcraft. The witch doctor will take some things and they'll tie it together and they'll put a, they call it praying for it, and they'll put it over there, and you bring that thing home, and it's supposed to protect your house and ward off evil spirits. It's all it is a thing you can look at and say, I've got something protecting me. It's a devil from hell is what it is. When I walked in, there was fetish hanging around in the house. The floor of the houses aren't very big, but it was ringed. There were little bottles of pills all the way around the floor of that house. They had used all the money they had trying to have the baby healed by doctors. When that didn't work, they went to the witch doctors. And when that didn't work, they come knocked on my door. The boy is in a coma laying on the floor. I didn't reach and grab all the fetish and stomp it on the ground. I didn't throw all the pills out the door. Simply fell down on top of that little boy.
stretched my body on top of his and said, God, in the name of Jesus, I speak life into him by the Holy Ghost. Got up and left. Went into another house. They had prepared a meal for me. I ate the meal with them. The daddy asked me, how long is it going to be now before my son comes back? I said to him, I have no idea. But there is a subject that is more important to me than your son coming back. And that's your soul going to hell, sir. You must be born again. So I explained the gospel to his household. Everybody in the house got saved. There was about, I'd say there was about 18 or so people in there. Everybody got saved. I ate my meal of surprise packages or tamales with them. Thank God somebody else got the chicken head and I didn't. Those cones are hard to chew up. Boy. And them eyeballs, they're really hard to swallow. Yeah. Thank God somebody else got it. I didn't. So I told the daddy, you don't worry about it. Your son will be fine. Well, what do I have to do? I say, you don't have to do nothing. God's going to do it. He said, when is God going to do it? I said, when God gets ready. You just be ready for when God moves. He said, okay. So I walked down and got in my truck. I fired off that big old 454 engine, that gasoline thing. Hog, it drinks a lot of gas. When my engine turned on down there, they heard me, it was way down the hill. That little boy began to jerk violently. And in a few minutes, out of his left ear, a 4-inch black worm crawled out. It started walking across his face. And walked down on the ground and they chopped it up and threw it in the fire. And when that worm hit that fire, that boy came back to life. Healed. John chapter 3 and verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Your job in life is to lift up Jesus. Your job in life is to always understand that anything you do, you must lift up Jesus. It doesn't matter what country I'm in, my job is the same. It's to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. It's to make sure I get out of the limelight and put him in the light and make him bigger and that makes me littler. That's all. That's scriptural, church. Don't take the honor. Don't take the glory. It belongs to Jesus. I feel the anointing of God. Do y'all feel it yet? I feel it tangibly, feel it on my body. It's nice. We've got to lift up Jesus. We've got to lift up Jesus. We must lift up Jesus. 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 Jesus is our answer. There was a knock at my door one afternoon. I opened it to find one of my pastor's sons there. He was very white. He was very drawn. He had ran for about 4 hours to get to my house. He had a note from his daddy. I read the note. I got white and drawn. His wife had given birth to a baby and the baby had died. I jumped in my four-wheel drive. We took off. We got out there. I grabbed up this baby that's dead. I asked God for mercy and grace. The baby was not raised from the dead. We buried the baby. But there was another problem. The wife, she had not passed all the afterbirth. And it was hung inside of her. And it was ripping her apart. And she was flooding, bleeding profusely. We could not stop the blood. She was very embarrassed. Blood was going everywhere. We prayed and we prayed and we sought God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. Nothing. She's still bleeding. She's going to bleed to death. What do you do, church? What do you do, church? When one of your pastor's wives, you love her, we just buried her baby, but she's dying. There are no hospitals for Indians. There's only Jesus. I told him, don't worry. God's going to stop that bleeding. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go back to my house. Along the way, I'm going to hike to all the villages, and I'm going to tell all the pastors to get his people together, all the elders of the church, all their wives, all their children, and all the people that want to. And we're going to sit right down in the dirt, and we're going to call on God, and we're going to ask God to stop this stuff. I went home. It went by 5 churches along the way. And I told all of our people, you've got to pray and fast. I'll be back out here in 2.5 days. And I want to see everybody skinny from fasting. I want to see everybody's face dirty with dirt from falling on it, asking God for mercy. So they said, okay. I got home and I talked to my family. I talked to the American missionaries I work with. All of us went immediately into a complete fast, which means no water, no nothing. And so we started fasting and asking God for mercy. Asking God for mercy. I had some more services I had to go do. So finally the hour finally came where I could get back out there. So I take off in my truck. I get out there. I don't know. I guess I'm nervous because I just couldn't do nothing right. I tripped. I fell. I was trying to get in there, but I didn't want to hear my wife is dead. We buried her. That was not what I wanted to hear. And I come up in there and I saluted them. You can't just like here, you know, in our country too. You can walk all the way up and knock on the door. There you don't go in the yard. You got to get somebody's attention first. And so I hollered at them. And somebody hollered, come in. So I walked in, and I was walking. And as I was walking up to the door, that lady met me at the door. And she not only was she completely healed, but she was completely restored in her blood. Hallelujah. Go with me to Mark chapter 8, please. Is it okay if I just preach the gospel, pastors? Is that all right, pastors? Just preach just a simple, simple gospel. The reason we call it simple is because I don't come up here with some fancy words and lay on you and a whole bunch of scriptures that y'all didn't remember was in there. But you see, Jesus said this stuff. I don't think it's too simple myself. Mark chapter 8. Verse 34, please. See, my daddy was a pastor. He preached my entire life. My whole life, all we ever did was have church. Even though I was very physically fit, I could have been an athlete. Baseball, football, anything. He wasn't interested in that. He was only interested in preaching the gospel. So I didn't get to play sports at all. All I got to do was go to church. Of course, that made me mad at first, but now I'm glad. Verse 34 says, and when he called the people unto him with his disciples, he said to them, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Church, I'm talking to you tonight. You got to decrease so Jesus can increase. Denying yourself does not mean you got to give away everything you own and live in a ditch. It means you got to give your heart to God completely. You hear me? My daddy preached all of his life, And then all of a sudden the time came for me to start preaching. God touched my life. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I was so on fire for God, I burned everything. It was in the way. I burned it up. One day I went home from Mexico and I found my daddy dying in a bed with an incurable heart disease. And I walked over to him and I said, "How can this be? This man has given his entire life to the gospel. Why is this happening to him?" God didn't answer me. So I said, "That's fine." I set myself and my house in order. We went to prayer and fasting. I fasted 7 days straight. I went back. I laid hands on my daddy. He did not get healed. I said, "That's no problem." I said, "Another 7 days." We went into prayer and fasting. I went back. He did not get healed. I said, "That does not make any difference. I'll fast till I die. Daddy will not die with an incurable disease. He will be healed. If it works for my Indians, it works for my daddy." Okay? So the time came again. I said another time. But I told my wife, I said, "Let's set a 10-day fast and let's believe God for the mercy of God." And she said, "All right." So we set a 10-day fast. We fasted 10 days straight. I finally made it back up to the United States. I walked in there, and it was a Christmas Eve, 1984. And I walked in there, and I sit down. My daddy was a doctor of theology. I sit down with him. He had his Bible over there. I had my Bible over here. I'm not a doctor of nothing. I just love Jesus. I started in Genesis, and I went clean through to Revelations, proving to him that his healing was bought on the cross along with his salvation. We got through after 3 hours. He shut his book. He said, "You have convinced me." I walked over to my sister's stove, stuck my hand in the skillet and got the Wesson oil all over me. Walked back over to that big giant man, laid hands on him in Jesus' name, and he said, "Good night." In the morning he woke up. He didn't have any pain in his chest, first time in 6 years. He went under the house, got the tiller out. Do y'all know what a tiller is? What you get out in the garden, got a motor on it, got these tines on it, digs up and pulverizes the dirt, and you plant your stuff. A plow, you call that a plow? Rotary hoe. All right, rotary hoe. There we go. A rotary hoe. And he worked out there for 3 hours. He never found the pain. All he found was tiredness. So he went to the doctor that had given him a bypass, an open heart surgery. He went to the doctor. He said, "I can't find the pain. What happened to it?" The guy gave him, put him in the hospital, checked him for 2 or 3 days, said, "There ain't no pain because your heart is completely healed and it's wide open." And when I come up here behind this pulpit, I'm not up here just telling stories. I believe, I was sitting out there a while ago praying, and I believe there's a specific thing God wants to do. There's women here that are having female trouble. That's why I told you those stories. There's people in here with heart disease. That's why I'm telling you this story. Are you getting it yet, how I preach? It's normal people just like you with the same kind of symptoms you have, but it's the same God that's powerful for all of us. The Bible says right here, "Whoever will come after Jesus, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow him. Whoever will be saved, will save his life, shall lose it. And whoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I think that's a very valid question. That's a very valid question, I believe. There's too many of us that are bent on doing things our way, even though we love Jesus. We're stubborn, church. We can't be stubborn anymore. If you want the glory of God, you got to let Jesus destroy the works of the devil through you. You got to decrease and let Him increase. You got to lift up Jesus in everything you do. If you want the power of God. If you want the power of God. You see, there was this man. He wrote me a letter. He wrote me a letter. This is going to make some of y'all's stomachs flip. That's all right. This man wrote me a letter. Now, the way there is no telegraph system there. There are no telephones there. The way we get messages back to each other is we send runners to each other. And so they sent a runner to me. Now, it took that runner 11 hours to get to my house. I took the message. And it was a man that was dying with a thing called jungle rot. Are y'all familiar with what that is? It's similar to leprosy. Except it's more localized. It's not spread. It won't spread all over your body most of the time. Jungle rot is, it'll see one part of your body it likes and jump on there and just eat it up. Totally destroy it. It really likes to eat muscle tissue. It's a devil. From hell. But you see, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Did y'all hear that? So it doesn't make any difference if you're dying with jungle rot. If you want Jesus, He can heal your body. Is that right? So I told him, I'll be up there on this day right here, and I'll be there at this time. So I took off hiking. A lot of the people where I lived didn't even know where this village was. It took me a long time to hike up there. It took me 15 hours to hike up that mountain. But I found it. And when I come walking up, I could smell the house I was going to way down the road. The stench of rotten flesh. I walked up to that house. It was a little bitty stick house, smaller than normal. It was leaning over, almost to fall down. The roof was a piece of plastic. Do y'all call that viscoline here? Y'all understand it? And I walked up in there and I said, oh no, I'm going to vomit probably. Yuck. I walked up in there and I bent way down and crawled up in that little hut with that guy. I met with one of the worst sights of a human body that my eyes have ever seen. Not the worst, but really close. There was a man laying there, had a big pile of banana leaves wrapped around his leg. I reached over and got the banana leaves and flipped them back. That was a mistake. What was under there was about 10 gallons of pus and mucus and blood and guts. That leg was two or three times its normal size, had holes all in it. It was just oozing with pus and blood. I asked that man, what in the world kind of devil was that had hooked on his leg? He said, this is called jungle rot. It has eaten my body up. I am destroyed. But I heard that you know Jesus. I heard that you can heal me. I said, you heard right. I said, the best decision you ever made in your life was to send me a runner. I said, because I've got Jesus. And the Jesus I carry sent me here to tell you that the works of the devil that's hooked on your leg will be destroyed. So now then, how are we going to pray for this guy? Probably way off and put one finger on his forehead like that. Is that right, church? Not me. Walk right over at that leg and stick your hand down in there till it disappears. your wrist deep in pus and blood. And you speak to that devil. You say, devil, not only are you not going to kill me, but you fix to come out of this guy in the name of Jesus. And you're going to be healed, man. If you hadn't made me hike 15 hours and stick my hand in the puddle of pus, you're going to be healed. I wish I knew how to make it more gross to you, I would. If I knew more adjectives in English, I would surely give them to you. I am taking an English course because my Spanish has gotten so good, I lost a lot of my English. But I am studying English now. I will have some more adjectives if y'all ever let me come back. But y'all, I'll tell you this. In Jesus' name, we prayed for that man and we told the devil to get out. I mean, it's the grossest thing. It's a mess. So I went right out of the house. I didn't even excuse myself. I went out, found me a bucket, went down the creek and dipped it up, and I washed my hand, got me some soap, washed it all up. But I had the great opportunity to go back the second time in 2 weeks. And when I got there in 2 weeks, the man was sitting on the side of the bed. The leg had gone down quite a bit, but it still had the wrap of the banana leaves on it. So I take the wrap and throw it off again, stick my hand down in there, wrist deep again. Y'all understand that it was pus in there? Speak to the devil in the name of Jesus. Command him out of that man's life and body. Speak health and holiness and righteousness into the man, because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came so that I could lift him up. Jesus came so that you could lift him up. Jesus came so that we can destroy the works of the devil. Isn't that fun? So I went back again. And this time when I got there 2 weeks later, it's been a month now, 30 days have passed. When I went back this second time, when I come walking up, the smell wasn't there. Smelled like the rest of the piney woods up there in the tall mountains. And I was nervous. I walked on up to the house. He heard me coming. He come out on a bordon, a crutch. Come out dragging that leg. Just like that. And I looked at it, and it was only about twice the size now. So I ripped and tore those banana leaves off that thing. And I stuck my hands back in that mess, and I said, "You devil, you're not going to win in Jesus' name." And I went back the third time. This is 6 weeks. And this time, when I got there, he ran down the mountain completely healed to meet me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't mind, I'd appreciate it if you'd turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Have y'all got bored with all these miracles yet? I'm really having a difficult time deciding which ones to tell y'all. Isn't that a great problem to have? Isn't it? I mean, think about it. Instead of trying to think up and spend days wringing my hands trying to figure out what am I going to say when I get up there, I'm literally sitting there thinking, God, what am I? Which ones do I say? That's a better problem to have. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. What about if I tell y'all a story because if I'm hearing things right, y'all been in a drought around here a little while. The other day when we came for the first time, it rained a little bit. That was the first time probably in a while. Do I have this right? Okay. I want to encourage y'all a little bit. You see, there was this, over there in our country, the whole country steeped in witchcraft. It's not a godly nation at all. And the brothers, we had a meeting one time and we decided what could we do to cause that nation to turn to God. And we found in the Bible where there was a prophet that spoke to the rain and told it not to rain for the space of 3.5 years. So we thought, all of us got together, we thought that we would ask God to stay the rain for a season. And everybody was in agreement, so we prayed and fasted about it a few days, and we asked God to hold the rain. The rain stopped for 2 years. But if you know anything about droughts, they cover the righteous and the unrighteous alike. That's okay. If you can have the stamina to put up with it so that the devil can be broken out of your nation and so forth and so on. If it was God that was talking to you in the first place. One of the brothers comes to my house. He says, I've got a problem. I need you to come on this day. I'll be there. I'll have some elders there. I said, I'll be there, no problem. The day came. I showed up. I went out there with him. He said, I've got a big problem, Brother Hogan. I want you to come with me. So I went with him. And have y'all ever noticed that if there's a drought, crops don't grow? Y'all ever noticed that? Doesn't make any difference how fertile the ground is. If there's no water, it's not going to produce. Is that right or not? I mean, that's just common sense, right? Unless you know Jesus. Is that right too? Now this is really going to get to you, and I'm glad. I'm thinking, I've asked the Holy Ghost to bring things to my remembrance that will really flip you out. You've got to expand how big God is. You can't hold Him into your limited expectations. You can't hold Him into your limited knowledge. He's bigger than we are. We've got to raise Jesus up. We've got to lift Jesus up. We've got to make Him become a bigger God to us. The brother brought me up on the side of the mountain, and the elders, we were all there, and he said, look at this. And I looked, and there was a crop of peppers, jalapenos, and chiltepines, and caballos. Y'all don't know what that is, right? There's these little plants sitting there, and they're all dead. You can reach down and grab them, and you know how they crinkle or crush whenever they're dried all up? He had a whole mountainside full of chili plants. And he said to me, Brother David, I want my chili crop. I kicked the dirt. I said, well, do you see that? That's dust. We're the ones that prayed for God to hold the rain. He said, you told me God was bigger than any of us. I said, He is. You told me He could do anything He wanted to. I said, He can. He said, pray for my chilies to come back to life. I said, what you're trying to tell me is you want me to pray that it'll rain. He said, I don't want rain. I want chilies. You see, whenever you preach faith the way I do, you create monsters. You create devil-hating monsters. You create people that can believe God with you. You create people that make you expand your faith greater maybe than what you were expecting them to be able to do. So are you going to talk him out of it now? Are you going to tell him that God's limited? Or are you going to tell him, so be it. In the name of Jesus. I think the last one's the right answer. So we took off hiking around his chili plants, speaking the life of God into them in Jesus' name. Now this really happened. You hear me? This really, really did happen. But I thought I'd encourage you since there's a drought here. We spoke to those chili plants in the name of Jesus. What do you think happened to them? Every last one of them come back to life. Can you believe that? Chili plants submit to the name of Jesus. And they grow without water. That's not possible. It's not. Not for you and I, but it is possible for Jesus. He invited me down to his house again about 3 months later for me to see how many chilies that he had collected off those chili plants. He got more chilies off of those chili plants than he ever got in his life. He hasn't had a chili crop since like that. I told him we ought to believe God to cut the rain off and just let God grow them. Second Corinthians chapter 12. I've got to talk you into not fretting. I've got to talk you into quit being nervous. I've got to talk you into lifting Jesus up. I've got to talk you into letting Jesus destroy the works of the devil through you. I've got to convince you of that. I have to. It's my job. It's my job. See, I went to service one night and there was a little boy sitting around right at my feet. Think nothing of it. There's children always just like these. They're all over the place all the time. They crawl around playing with, they don't have toys like these do and pencils and stuff. They have little sticks and little pieces of wood they push around. But it's the same thing everywhere you go. Just a little different kind of toys. But the little kids are always down there. Well, this little boy was sitting there the whole service. I didn't think anything about it. But the boy was deaf from birth in both ears. And so what we did, I didn't know it. But the mama, whenever it was prayer time, the mama went and got him by the hand and come up there and stood there. She didn't tell me a word because she can't speak Spanish. So she didn't say nothing to me. She just stood there holding that little boy by the hand. So I went down through there praying for him in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. And I grabbed that little boy. I did not know he was deaf. I had no idea that he was deaf and that he could not speak. I had no idea that his tongue was welded to the bottom of his mouth. And not only could he not hear, but he could not speak. And he was a little bit retarded. There was lots of things wrong with him. So I just laid hands on him in the name of Jesus, went on down the road. Down the road praying for folks. And we were in a campaign, so I was there again the next night. And the whole place, when I drove up, was just buzzing. It was alive, just buzzing. Because the little boy had been instantly healed by the blood of Jesus. See, if we can learn how to lift up Jesus, if we can learn how to decrease and let Jesus increase, if we can learn how, somehow or another, to let Jesus work through us to destroy the powers of the devil, I want you to know something. There's another thing that starts happening to us. We start understanding how to submit to the grace of God. See here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. There's a statement made by Jesus himself that you're going to have to learn to live with. Grace is enough. You don't need to go running all over the world looking for a greater revelation. There isn't one. It's lift Jesus up. It's lift up Jesus. It's decrease so he can increase. Verse 9 says, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in infirmities and weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, This is, verse 10 is one of my most favorite verses in the entire Bible. Because people are always asking me, how can you see so many powers of God and wear glasses and have a weak left eye? And my answer is always the same. I have no idea. I just don't understand that. I've called to God several times about that, but instead of worrying and fretting over, I'm just going to find me a bloody stump to pray for. I'm going to find me a cancer to lay hands on. I'm going to find me a dead person to raise in Jesus' name. And I'm going to let that other stuff work itself out, because I'm going to keep seeking God, and I ain't going to get in a dither about it and let the Holy Ghost fall off of me because I'm weak in an area. Did you hear me? Just wanted to go ahead and settle that for all you people that were wondering about these glasses. And if they make you so mad, why don't you get right on up here and lay hands on me and get me healed? And if you can't, shut up. How's that sound? See, I've had several people prophesy over me. God's healing you. Throw them things away. Have you ever bought these before? They're very expensive. But see, not wanting to disobey God and miss a miracle, I threw them away three times. And I didn't get healed. So I don't think it's a good idea to come up and prophesy to me about my eyeballs. If you've got the word of the Lord, you just lay hands on me and keep your mouth shut. And then if I get healed, that's great. Because I'm going to see 20/20 out of both eyes in Jesus' name. You'll see it in the name of Jesus. Is that settled all right? Verse 10. Just can't believe how I got the nerve to say that kind of stuff, can you? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. How would you feel if you were a lady that your body was filled with tuberculosis and you were dying and there was nobody to help you? How would you feel if you were laying on a cot for 4 years, spitting up mucus and blood every day, losing all the muscle tissue off your body and becoming nothing but a bone with a little bit of skin wrapped around it, and that disease taking over in your body and eating you completely up, and there was nobody to help, but you had a slow death because that TB don't kill you fast, it kills you slow. How would you feel if you heard a loudspeaker all of a sudden go resounding through the jungle and a nut up there saying, God will heal you, it doesn't matter what's wrong with you, just come to Jesus? But how would you feel if you were so weak that you couldn't walk anymore and couldn't get there and there was nobody to take you there, even if you wanted to go? So you know what this old lady did? She started out crawling on her elbows through the jungle. It took her 8 hours to crawl across town. Actually, town's a village in the jungle. It's not like it is here. She got to the pastor's house. It was way after midnight. She knocked on the door. Finally, they came and they were looking for somebody. There was nobody there. They were looking around, and finally, she grabbed a hold of his trousers, and he looked down, and there was this lady laying in the dirt with elbows all cut up and bleeding, and saying, "Nani neki palewis, I need help, please." He reaches and gathers her up and brings her in the house, puts her in a bed, and his wife gets up. And she comes over there and they begin to pray for her. They prayed for her from 1 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock in the morning. Then he took off walking 2 hours to the highway. He got a bus, came 2 hours to my house, got me. I go back, and I find this beat-up old lady that's filled with tuberculosis laying in his house, almost dead. So what do you do now? You lay on top of her in the name of Jesus, God Almighty. My lungs are good. My body is filled with life. I ask you, God, to let it penetrate into this lady in the name of Jesus. And then you lead her to Jesus, and she gets born again. And then you have a meal with them, and you leave. Then a few days later, you're in church with them in that same village. I pray for so many people, I forget about them, most of them. But there's a new convert sitting over there worshiping Jesus, little old lady. And I asked the pastor, who is she? Oh, that's the grandma, David, that had the tuberculosis. She's completely healed, and flesh is, and muscle is grown back on her body, and she's totally a different woman than she was when you saw her. That's why you don't recognize her. Are y'all getting absolutely shell-shocked at all these miracles? Are you just too stunned to... is it bothering you? I thought while I had you, I just swelled to get you. Is that all right? One more verse, and we're going to shut it down. Ephesians chapter 2, talking about grace again. I certainly hope, though, I don't want to come off to y'all, really, I don't want to be arrogant and prideful and boastful. I just want to be confident and filled with Jesus. I don't want you to think, golly, I could never attain to that, because all of you can be better than I am. Everybody in this building is a better person than me. You just got to let Jesus grow in you. You got to let Jesus be lifted up. You got to decrease and let Him increase. You got to let the power of God flow through you to destroy the works of the devil. Do you understand? Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And you hath Jesus quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." I was a mess, but Jesus come, got me, and set me free. I was riding on an airplane going to Alaska from where I live. I was very good at the job I did, so I was getting called up. I had a real good job waiting on me. I was going to be making lots and lots of money. Up in a place called Prudhoe Bay, Alaska. It's a great big oil find that they found up there. And I was going to work up there. And on the way, God spoke to me on the airplane. I had never heard the voice of God ever. Even though I grew up as a pastor's son, I had never heard the voice of God. And God spoke to me that He wanted me to get born again. Just like that. I thought it came over the loudspeaker. It was God speaking to me audibly. Did you hear what I said? And I was looking around. Look, you know how it is on a jet. Everybody's being cool and everything because they want to make everybody think they got more money than the other people. And so they're all sitting over there being big shots, you know. And I heard this voice speaking, and I thought everybody else heard it. But they didn't. And the second time it spoke to me, I talked back to it out loud. And all the people around me are starting to look at me and they think I'm crazy. But I'm not crazy. There was a voice talking to me. And it was Jesus. So I began to complain to Him about how I don't like it because people don't have faith. I'm not against God. I begin to tell Him, I'm not against your kingdom. I know it's right to be born again. The problem is, I ain't never met anybody that's completely living on faith like your Bible says. So I've got nobody to follow, so that doesn't give me a reason to follow Jesus. So God spoke to me again loud. He said, I want you to be that person. So I'm very good at taking challenges. I said, "You got it." I unbuckled my seat belt. Excuse me. Got out the aisle, knelt down, and raised my hands up to God and led myself to Jesus in a loud voice. Right on the plane. The thing about it is, being a pastor's son, I had watched my daddy do it probably thousands of times. I knew how to lead somebody to Jesus just from watching him. So I led myself to Jesus and got born again. And I'm glad I'm born again. And from that day on to this one, we live by faith. We don't live by men. We live by Jesus. The Bible says in verse 2 of Ephesians 2, "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as everybody else." But there's a verse 4 in the Bible all over the place if you'll look for it. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He has quickened us together with Christ. It's by grace you're saved. It's not by works, church. It's by grace." There's no way for me to get all these miracles. There's no way for it. God has to do it. Do you understand? It's purely the grace of God that flows through you to somebody else. But you can't work it up. It's not available like that. And it says right here in my Bible, let's jump down to verse 8. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, because it's the gift of God." Because God don't want anybody boasting about it. Because I want to tell you one more story, and then we're going to stand up and pray. So y'all can put y'all's Bibles in them fancy little covers y'all all have. I was called out to a place called Utlatzintla. Utlatzintla means the place of growing bamboo. Do y'all have bamboo? I'm sure y'all have bamboo here, right? Big fishing poles. The man was crippled for 7 years. I went and touched him. It was the most amazing thing you'd ever seen. I went and touched the man. Just touched him. And he jumped up and began to run after 7 years of being a cripple. Isn't that something? Just running all over. He ran outside the thing and ran around his house, went running down through town, went down the river and ran around in the river and come back. He was happy to be off that bed after 7 years. But there was only one problem with that. His daddy and his mama were black magic warlocks. They were witches. And they started casting spells on him and us and everybody. And they started fighting with him. Till finally, he caved in to their mentality. Do you understand? He denied Jesus. The brothers, it scared them so bad because they had seen other people drop dead that did that. So he come running to my house, the brother did. And he said, "Man, this guy, you got to come. He's denied Jesus. You got to talk him into going back with God." So I jumped in my truck, went out there, trying to talk him into going back with God. He said, "I'll never do it." He said, "I'm healed. I don't need God anymore." I said, "I tell you by the Holy Ghost, you got 1 week to repent. For every day that you do not come back to Jesus, you will be crippled a year. And if you're not back in 7 days, the amount of time you were crippled, you will die." He said, "My daddy's power is greater." I said, "You're wrong, buddy. I said, you was crippled 7 years and your daddy couldn't get you healed. He said, I'm not turning. I said, that's fine with me. But we'll see if my word's right or your daddy's witchcraft is right. I've got a week to find out, but you don't. 7 days. You listen to me. That was 10 o'clock in the morning because I wrote it down on a piece of paper and handed it to him. At 10 o'clock, 1 week later, and 1 second, he fell dead. Did y'all hear what I said to you? Jesus increase, you decrease. Did you hear it? There were so many people that got born again because they were scared spitless. They were scared not to get saved. We need fear in the church. We need fear, the fear of God, to grip us. Verse 8, y'all put y'all's up. I'll read it to you one more time. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. That's it. Would y'all stand up, please? Is it okay to minister to these folks? Might take a minute. Do we have a minute for that? There's one thing I've got. I work out for stamina. I can do it. There's another thing I got. God don't ever get tired. All right, listen. If y'all been to any of the other meetings, I want, first of all, let's get some people born again. If there's anybody here that's not saved, I would invite you, if you're here tonight and you're not saved and you come here, you're wondering what kind of a nut, you shouldn't have listened to all this. But church, if there's somebody around you and you're not sure that they're born again, I'd like for you to ask them if they're not, and I'd like for you to talk them into coming down here with me. And look here, if you need to be born again, I'd like for you to come right down here, right over here on this section, right over here. If there's somebody in here that does not have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come down here with me, right over here, and we're going to pray and ask Jesus to become Lord and Savior of your life. A crowd this big, there's going to be somebody. Would y'all please come on down? Don't be afraid. They're only people. Just think of them as kangaroos. If you're here and you do not have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come down here. Would you please come? In Jesus' name. Come right over here with him.